This hour of the programme, we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS of the build-up to the general election. And today we're joined in the studio by candidate for Douglas West in September's poll, John Skinner. Good afternoon, John, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stu. Thank you for asking me to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're a retired firefighter, and some people might say that that's exactly what we need in government at the moment.
Yes, I am a retired firefighter. I served the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service and indeed the people of the island for 30 years. I'm married to Jill. I have two children. One is in telecommunications, one is in the hospital as a nurse. I have two stepdaughters, one who graduated 2 years ago and now in finance sector. And subject to next Thursday, I have a younger stepdaughter who wants to go to Queen's Belfast.
Oh, excellent. Good stuff. All right. And what makes you think that you'd make a good politician? Because being a fireman, we know, takes incredible bravery every now and then and a lot of cooking from the sound of it.
I'm Douglas born, Douglas West, born and bred, to be honest. I've always lived there. I was born into Albany Street, grew up there, and moved to Berkeley Street. So I've always been in the heart of West Douglas. And I've always been community orientated from a very early age. My parents were involved with the St John Ambulance and I went in there, which, as you say, led me into the fire service. And part of it is a sense of serving the community and carrying on serving that community. I live centrally within West Douglas. And again, it's a desire just to serve the community and to do my duty, really.
Do you think it's important that you live within the community that you want to represent?
I think it is, to be honest. I mean, as you probably know, I stood for the Legislative Council about 18 months ago, which then led to the Douglas East by-election. And a number of people asked me, would I stand in East Douglas? And I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
The only reason being, I'm Douglas West. You snap me in half, I've got Douglas West stamped through me like a piece of Blackpool rock.
Of a couple of hundred yards, though, aren't you? You know.
It's... Oh, indeed, indeed. But I think it's important, to be honest. I've never been anywhere else.
That's a Manx thing, that, I think, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And I mean, that's not the only public service, not only being a fireman, a firefighter. You've also been on the Planning and the Health Services Consultative Committee. Have they given you a good background, do you think, for what you want to do?
I think so, particularly with planning. I worked quite regularly with the planning department as a fire officer. That was part of my job in fire safety. And again, it was a means of keeping in touch with the public, keeping in touch with reading plans, keeping in touch with what was going on, not only in Douglas, but also around the island. And I am one of those who, when the planning committee agenda comes out, if I don't know somewhere, I know the island fairly well, I'd like to say that. But if I'm not quite sure whether something will be right, whether it will fit, I will go and get in the car and I'll go and have a look.
Yes.
I'll weigh up the site and say, yes, I think that will fit there. No, it won't.
Do you think that the planning function in the Isle of Man works well, or do you think it could be improved? A lot of people think that it's a bit petty in some ways, yet it allows other developments, you know, almost on a whim, that are completely out of place.
I think it works fairly well, to be honest, Stu. The boys and girls in planning, no, they won't object to me calling them the boys and girls, they do work extremely hard. There was, a few years ago, a move to make the meetings public. And I'm not sure whether that was a vociferous minority or not that led to that. However, we do now meet in public. And I have to say that the public don't appear to want to turn up and listen and see how applications are made.
But the fact is that they can.
They can. And also, perhaps as a sort of an insult to your profession, we've never yet seen a member of the press or the media at a public sitting of the planning committee.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, that's a fair criticism, I suppose. It's interesting because you've called for greater openness in government so that people understand the reasons behind decisions. Maybe that's the same way. Maybe more openness in government, nobody would actually take any notice of it.
No, I think in general, from the people that have spoken to me, they are concerned that there appears to be a lack of information coming forward. And it's if you do something, you can't just tell people, that's it.
Yes.
That's why you're doing it, full stop. I think if you tell people why you're doing it, they don't necessarily agree with what you're going to say.
Or want to take part in the process.
Or want to take part in it.
Yeah.
But if they can understand why a decision has been made, and as I say, even though they don't agree with it, they appear to be more accepting of it. And I had the same thing when I was at work, Stu. We obviously had jobs where, you know, the lads didn't want to do it. But if you sat them down and you explained
this is
why it has to be done, they say, oh, I don't agree with that, but yeah, okay, it's got to be done.
It's like most things in Manx politics, though, that there are two very clear arguments about this, aren't there? One is that we all ought to know a lot more about what's going on. Another is that government is already trying its best to do that, and it seems that we're being consulted about every decision before it's made, and you sometimes wonder what the right balance is on these things, because these consultations, I wonder if a lot of them aren't just window dressing, that the government already has decided what it's going to do. It's just making out that the public have got some input into it.
I think, yes, you're partly right there, but I think there is an element where some of the public don't actually realise that they can make comment. I mean, for instance, you know, you can find the consultation documents on the government's website, but it's not made abundantly clear. There are notices in the press, and I'm fairly sure that it would be very easy for computer section in government, say, to be able to, if you're registered, which you have to do to get onto the government website, why can't they come up with some sort of a system where if there is a consultation document, those that are registered, it's brought to their attention via an email.
Gotcha.
And they've got the opportunity to respond.
Yeah. But doesn't that mean that you're spoon-feeding people politics?
No, not really. It's giving people the opportunity to have their say.
I'm just trying to think of an analogy. I mean, I sometimes buy things online, and a couple of the sites that I've bought things online, what you end up with is a weekly or a bi-weekly newsletter from them then with the latest offers and things. And I sort of look at these and I think, this is just clogging up my inbox. Actually, if I want to buy anything else off you, I'll come looking for it. I don't need to be reminded that you're there.
But it's very easy just to put it into, you know, don't send me this or the waste bin, or on, you know, there are sort of areas within your mail system that you can actually block that sender.
I suppose so. Have you been out on the doorstep?
I have, yes.
And what kind of things are people saying to you? Are they local issues about West Douglas, or are they more national issues?
Well, I brace myself for the economy, Stu.
Yes.
And I'm at the moment high on the agenda is parking, the usual, dog dirt, the lack of communication, and there are a number of, being a Manxie, Joey runs, going through West Douglas, and people are genuinely concerned about the speed of traffic going through it. You know, if you look at Princes Street is 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You've got parking on both sides of, say, Primrose Avenue, room for one car, 30 miles an hour. Now, I accept that 30 miles an hour, it's not a target.
Yeah.
But, you know, people in some of these areas where they're taking shortcuts are crying out to have speed reductions.
And does it surprise you that people are talking about things like that rather than the VAT black hole? Or are plenty of people worried about that? Redundancies, job security, you know, the big national issues at the moment.
There are a number of people who are obviously concerned, and particularly with the cuts. But I think that the Manx people are quite resilient to the cuts. And, you know, we've had it before. We will get through it, is what they're saying to me.
Yeah.
But can you fill that pothole in?
Yeah, well, I suppose politics is all about, you know, the art of the possible, or the... and also what's in it for me. If you're talking to somebody asking for the vote, then they want to know what's in it for them, I suppose, don't they?
Well, they do, and a number have asked what's in it for me, and as I've said to them, I actually have quite a nice lifestyle, and they say, oh, you know, it's good money, it's this, and you know, I'm not in it for the money, Stu.
Yeah.
When I stood for Edgeco, I was asked by one person, apart from the money, why do you want to be in it? And I floored them and I said, I'm not in it for the money.
Would you say that you're allied to any of the political groupings in the Isle of Man, or are you a pure independent?
No, I'm absolutely a pure independent. What you see basically is what you get. I have been asked, I have been approached.
Yes.
And I have sort of, I've listened to what people have said.
Yes.
As I believe that people should have a fair hearing. And no, I'm totally
decided that you're going to paddle your own canoe.
Yes.
What do you think about that? Do you think that that's the best way to be? That we all our MHKs are independents, or do you think that party politics might have an increasing part to play in Manx politics?
I think party politics may eventually have a part to play. You could sort of, you know, as we say, people might think I'm living in the past, but it's worked well for over 1,000 years, the system that we have.
Yes.
And I think people in the greater world actually admire us for being able to stick at it for 1,000 years with the system that we've
got. Well, some people would say that for 1,000 years it was a case of the masterclass and the proles, and that, you know, in years gone by, we all used to just do as we were told and not think anything of it. Nowadays, everybody wants more democracy, everybody wants more representation. So people expect more of politicians nowadays. They're not the masters that maybe they used to be.
Well, that's right. And at the end of the day, I'm under no illusions that if I were to be successful, I am there, perhaps not to do as I'm told, but I am there to represent and take in what people are asking me to do. And I am there, I work for them.
Yeah, and do you see that as the real heart of the job of an MHK, to represent the constituency? Because some people would say, well, hang on, what we want are people looking at national policies now. We want people who are going to help Isle of Man PLC steer a course over the next 5 years.
You can't just sort of shut your eyes to the constituency. You have to look at things with the wider picture. You have to look at what's going to go on in the Isle of Man and sort of do, you know, for the greater part of the island as well. It's because it would be too easy to get entrenched in just local issues.
Well, it would. Potholes, you know, when we're stuck with the 200 million quid shortfall, potholes are pretty low on the agenda, really, aren't they? Unless you've got one outside your front door that you keep tripping up over.
But it's nice to... To use an analogy that an old chief officer from Gloucestershire Fire Brigade gave to me on a course I went on, if you lived in a block of flats, you know, and take West Douglas as, say, the ground floor, and as you move up, you sort of take Douglas West, then you've got Douglas, and when you get to into sort of the Keys...
So, yes.
You live on the top floor.
Yeah.
And what you see is the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Rather than, it's so easy to get drawn in at the bottom.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio. Brought to you by PDMS.
This is Talking Heads. Thanks for sharing a part of your afternoon with us. Our election guest today is John Skinner, who's standing for the House of Keys in Douglas West. How would you describe your politics generally?
I would use the old... Am I allowed to advertise the old Kit Kat advert?
Yeah,
I'm middle of the road.
Yeah.
I've been called many things in my time, Stu, but above all, I don't think anybody could deny I'm fair.
Right.
I'm prepared to listen to both sides of the story. I'm prepared to then to make a balanced judgment. And that's what I've always done in life. You know, I do believe that there are two sides to every story.
Good. Yeah. What do you think are the biggest challenges that we face, and how do you think we ought to go about solving them?
Well, the biggest challenge is obviously is that people are concerned about is the VAT situation that we have and the economy. I mean, Mr. Bell tells us that we are still in 3% growth, so we're not officially in recession, except that that doesn't produce the revenue to give us the standards in life to which we've become.
We're going to have to save money, aren't we, in a big way?
We are, and I think it has to be looked upon. I know other candidates have said this, but you have to look at the whole picture, really.
Yes.
Because you can't. I don't think it's fair to say that everybody has to take 10% hit whilst in an ideal world, yes. But, you know, if you take 10% off education or 10% off health, that could be more damaging than, say, 10% off transport.
Yeah.
And you have to look at the areas specifically right across the board to see where it can...
It's going to be difficult, though, because government's now, what, 40% down on its annual income.
Yes.
So 10%'s only the start of it, really, isn't it?
It is,
you know,
yes.
We're going to have tough times. And everybody that I've spoken to says, oh, well, you know, we've got to be very careful not to lose any frontline services. We've got to look after the weak, the sick and the poor. Fact of the matter is that 40% reduction in income means that those frontline services are under threat, aren't they?
Well, they are, but... Again, you know, we can't afford to take big chunks of money out of that area.
But if
the money's not there,
yeah.
You know, it's like Mr. Tia said, we can't spend the same pound twice.
Yeah,
which is very true. You know, there are sort of big savings to be made. I know, for example, when the college appointed a new principal, there wasn't a deputy because the principal said that he could appoint people to sort of look at specific areas.
Yes.
Without, I do wonder whether there is merit, again, to be investigated with the recent announcement that the business school is hemorrhaging over 300,000. Is it time, perhaps, that the college and the business school should be brought together under one effective principal?
Yes.
I mean, so that's a third of £1 million there, Stu.
It does strike me that in the good years, and we've had, what, 20-odd good years, haven't we, in the Isle of Man, depending on your point of view, some people suggest that we've been getting more money than we've been entitled to, really. That may be the case. It strikes me that government has been very good at spending that money while they've had it. Maybe they've had to spend it because they couldn't build up ridiculous reserves without attracting too much interest from outside. But now it's different, isn't it? We're going to have to get a lot leaner and a lot fitter. In businesses, they always talk about the opportunities that that creates. Do you think that it's going to create opportunities for the Isle of Man? Or do you think that actually it's just a case of batten down the hatches and get through it?
I think there are opportunities to be there. I mean, you know, you've talked about health and I think longevity of life shows that we have a reasonable standard of life. We've got a good health service. I've lost my thread.
No, it's all right. We have got a good health service. We've got a great quality of life. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than the Isle of Man. But that's based on the fact that the island had plenty of money.
I know what I was going to say now about people. And people are going to have to work longer.
Yes.
Well, that, to me, then creates a logjam at the bottom.
Yeah.
And we've got to look after the young. We've got to secure the future for the young. And I'm not sure whether... I know it will take money to do it. When my daughter retrained as a nurse, she was paid a bursary.
Mm.
Now, I have this idea, and I don't know whether it could be investigated, that if you take a young person and put them into an apprenticeship and the employer doesn't actually pay the wage, they get the bursary.
Yes.
And at the end of 3 years, they have a trade. But also then you go another year and you teach them business skills,
yes,
management skills, financing skills, etc. And then you've got somebody at the end of that who, if they're so minded, has the will to go out and start their own business.
Do you think that maybe our education system is creating too many young people with huge expectations of glittering careers, when actually what we need are more painters, more plumbers, more... decorated, you know, that there are all sorts of things that you can't get a tradesman in the Isle of Man. And I wonder whether or not, instead of creating Masters of the Universe, we ought to be creating more plumbers.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, we live in the computer age, and everybody, you know, if they can get a job in the computer, it's their ideal world. But
my time again, I'd be a plumber. They make more than brain surgeons. I mean, really,
they do.
It's absolutely fascinating.
But wouldn't it be nice as well if you could get to midlife and say, yeah, I don't want to be an airline pilot today. I'm fed up with doing that job. I want to be a plumber.
I suppose so. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, this is the other thing. You're talking about the young people. I sort of. Through through my wife, have an association at Ballacameen School. And the students there are telling me that people don't listen to what they're saying. I've only got partial, and I've said that, well, you know, if successful, I mean, this summer, big campaigning thing, but I genuinely believe that we have to sort of listen to the young people. We have to take into account
to what an extent. They want, to an I'm extent. A bit old-fashioned about that. I think that the job of adults is to lay down the rules and to decide what the plan of attack's going to be, and the kids need to sort of follow along.
Well, yeah, I would agree to partly with that, Stu. But
I mean, this is why we've got riots across at the moment, because the young people are saying that they're not being listened to. Nonsense.
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, we had a... my younger stepdaughter was in Manchester yesterday at the Arndale.
Oh.
And as she was making her way to the train station, she could hear glass breaking behind her.
Yeah.
Now, we worried about her having just backpacked round Europe for the last 2 weeks, not thinking that there would be trouble on her own doorstep.
100 miles away and she could be in trouble, sort of thing. What do you think you can bring to the next government if you're elected? Have you got any ambitions as far as politics is concerned, or is the sole job at the moment to get yourself elected?
I think basically it's to be a listener and to make balanced decisions on what I'm being told, what I'm hearing, and, you know, to sort of just work for the people of the island, really. I know it sounds like a bit of a cliche.
Well, the worry about that is that you become a juror where you listen to all the evidence and make your own mind up about things. But, you know, do we not need people who are going to be a bit more proactive? Do we not need to be electing people who are going to go into the keys and say, here's a great idea that we can make some money out of?
Yeah, but you've got to go and talk to people first. And this, from what I'm hearing on the doorstep, isn't what's happening.
Right.
And if you go to talk to people, you could have your own ideas. But then you can go down the road and somebody else could have a better idea. And the only way you're going to get ideas is by talking to people. And this is what I'm saying with the communication thing.
Yes.
Communication is a two-way thing, Stu.
Do you think there are any missed opportunities in the Isle of Man? I mean, things like tourism, people constantly talk about that. I reckon it's probably dead in the water.
Yeah.
Certainly until the user agreement's changed or an airline comes in on a completely different basis to the ones that are here now.
Well, I don't think... in the real world, we're ever going to see people dig that beach up with buckets and spades.
Yeah.
But I feel that, and talking to people in the tourist industry, there is a market virtually untapped, which includes its specialist holidays, the walking holidays, the heritage, the railways, etc. And coming from a motorsport background, now I know motorsport is an inconvenience, a huge inconvenience to close the road, but I successfully helped run an event for over 25 years that really that didn't take money from the government. It was self-financing for 25 years.
What was that?
That was the Manx National Rally.
Oh, right, yeah.
When I took it over, it had no money in the bank, and I was successfully running 140 competitors.
Yeah.
But again, I've got a good team around me.
Do we not do all that, though? I mean, we've got lots of motorsport on the Isle of Man. That's why most people come over to the Isle of Man on holiday now, is for motorsport events. And walking holidays, we're already doing that. You know, the latest advertising campaign a couple of years ago was about all these things that you can do in the Isle of Man. You can ride your motorbike, you know, you can get into vintage stuff, you can ride your pushbike, you can leap off cliffs and things. It just strikes me that I can't understand what USP we've got, because you look at North Wales or you look at the Lake District, they've got similar scenery to us and you can get to them so much cheaper. So why would people come to the Isle of Man?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right with regards to the cost, because as you know, to get off the Isle of Man, if you book far enough ahead, then you can get cheap
flights. Yes, you can.
But, you know, the beauty of I'm saying... the beauty of the transport that they have over there. You can decide today you're going to go to Wales tomorrow.
Yeah.
But from what the tourist industry are telling me, and we've heard it on the Man and Line many times, if you go, it's the old South of Watford thing, they don't know what the Isle of Man is.
Oh, sure.
But
people in Manchester,
you know,
don't know what
I mean,
the Isle
I'm
Man
sure
is.
That we could advertise further afield without spending £10 million.
We're pretty much out of time now, John, so tell the people of Douglas West why they should vote for you in September.
Well, I believe I'm honest, I'm fair, I'm accessible, what you see is what you get, and I'm thorough.
Excellent. John Skinner, thanks very much for coming in today. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Stu.